Well, I can't believe it. Well, I absolutely can believe it, that it looks like the Republicans are about to throw overboard yet another Speaker of the House. If Andy Warhol were around today, he would say that eventually every person will be Speaker of the House for 15 minutes. And sure enough, it looks like that's where we're headed. Here to help us break that down and a host of other issues, Brian Kilmeade, New York Times bestselling author, co-host of Fox and Friends on Fox News, and a nationally syndicated radio talk show host, the third most important in the country, I might add. Also, the host of One Nation with Brian Kilmeade on the weekends. Brian, it's great to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
I can't wait. This is the only thing I look forward to all week, Frank.
Oh, if that were the case, if that were the case. Brian, what a mess the House of Representatives is. Marjorie Taylor Greene says she wants Mike Johnson out. Thomas Massey says he wants Mike Johnson out. He can't really afford to lose both unless he's saved by the Democrats. And the Republicans that want him out are essentially saying, all right, well, the Democrats may save you now, but they're not going to save you in perpetuity. Give me your take on all this stuff, Brian.
Well, number one, Marjorie Taylor Greene has backed off, and I didn't hear anything from Massey yesterday. He's putting forth foreign aid, $61 billion for Ukraine, $26 for Israel, $8 billion for the Indo-Pacific region. He's also doing something at the border as it relates to H.R. 2. He's going to, I think, try to link that all together. That seems to have been the compromise. They want border, and I understand it. They want some type of border funding in the bill. But we know the main problem with the border is not money. I mean, it's great. Okay, you could add some border patrol, but it's all about the discretion. When they interact with these illegal immigrants, do they have to let them through? Is there facilities for them? How long do we hold them? And what about those flights from other countries? These are policy changes. So can you force policy changes in a spending bill? Perhaps. But at what point? And then you have Donald Trump, who just said, don't do anything at the border for 6 months. I don't trust anything that he would do, nor do I want him to get credit for something that he broke. So I don't think the recall is going to happen. I think the Democrats would save him because the foreign aid is what Joe Biden wants. So why wouldn't Democrats step up and save him? If they don't save him, then they don't get anything.
Right, exactly. So they don't get Ukraine funding.
I think that what he's trying to say is, I'm probably not going to get this job again, but you can keep this job. Who wants it?
Exactly, exactly. I don't see you volunteering. Now, obviously, the big news here in Manhattan is what's going on with this Trump criminal case. Looks like we may see opening arguments on Monday. They're working their way through jury selection. Give me your take, Brian, in terms of where this goes, in terms of the trial itself, but really the political impact of this. Could anything that comes out here alienate any potential swing voters? And are there any potential swing voters still left?
Sure. I think there's independents undecided that still don't know. And you know what? Trump just got to provide that he's got to just show everybody he's a legitimate alternative. The numbers head to head when you compare the 4 years to Joe Biden's 3.5 look good for the former president. Almost the best thing about for Donald Trump's chances are Joe Biden's performance. I mean, you saw it over the weekend. You see it now going halfway with Israel. You see that for the first time, Joe Biden for three straight days is going into Pennsylvania with tiny crowds, all scripted. He looks older than ever. They show him walking, which I don't, you know, it's like FDR's chief of staff saying, make sure we show him in the wheelchair. Why are they doing this? They show him walking across these huge open platforms, and he looks like every step, it could be his last. Mm. So having said that, the first time people were outside his event, a lot of them chanting anti-Bidenomics phrases. The anti-Israeli stuff, sadly, is everywhere. But the whole, I hate Bidenomics. I've never seen that before. But in Pennsylvania, it's got to be scary.
It's going to be interesting to see where that goes. But what about keeping him off the campaign trail 4 days a week? I mean, obviously, this is kind of
a new age.
But will that hurt him, staying off the campaign trail for 6 to 8 weeks?
Oh, to a limited degree. You're talking about Trump not doing. Yeah, To a limited degree, sure, but I just don't think that we're going to remember April this week in April when it comes to the campaign. Right. I don't think they're going to. If he was in a tough primary, absolutely. But he's not, and he isn't, and it's the longest campaign ever. And a lot of times, I remember thinking to myself, after Mitt Romney got the nomination, why is he not doing anything in April? And then people would always tell me, you don't need to, because you got to get ready for the convention. That's where it hits jet fuel. But I love what the president did with the bodega is brilliant. And the only thing that was a bit better than that was when he walked into the fast food place in Atlanta. So these things are real. And I think at one point when that door closes in the DNC shop, they must be saying, man, these bodega workers, the people that showed up chanting 4 more years in Trump, 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 look like every ethnic group in Harlem. The president, the Republican president in New York City packs the outside of a sidewalk with a bodega where a murder took place in self-defense by Jose Alba, who was put into Rikers Island until publicity like WABC and the New York Post and Fox put so much scrutiny on it, they had to let him out. Now he's suing the city. The president shows up there and talks to the Bodega Association on their invitation. But you can't control the street. Frank, in New York, you never know what's going to show up. But the president walks out anyway, and they're chanting his name. And at one point, Joe Biden spent the whole day in Pennsylvania. I didn't see any enthusiasm. He's in New York City for 2 hours outside the courtroom. And that is the shot of the day.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment, or newbridgehealth.org.
Speaking of New Yorkers, I know on the radio today you're going to have former Congressman Lee Zeldin. When I spoke to you a week ago, you actually, and you were the first person I heard say this, you mentioned Lee Zeldin's name as potentially being on Trump's list of prospective running mates. Does your gut tell you that that's a real possibility?
And people.
Really?
I know people in the Trump camp, and I think it started 2 months ago. So, and you know, he's on the short list. When he shows up, he is treated extremely well. You know, with the military background, knowing New York, being a conservative, you know, doing the tough decision. You know, Ron DeSantis came to New York City and campaigned for Lee Zeldin, and Lee Zeldin had a tough decision to make. And he did in 2 seconds. He goes, I'm supporting Trump. And I think Trump really appreciated that. And plus, he went into New York City and fearlessly took on all comers and made crime an issue. And we know he did extraordinarily well and may have delivered the House for Republicans. This guy should be treated like royalty by the GOP. And I'm going to talk to him about that. Also about, you know, Lee Stefanik is somebody else I think you got to look at. She is so sure of herself, so direct. And you saw that yesterday, again, as these Ivy League CEOs, provosts, whatever they are up there trying to explain the anti-Semitic behavior on their campus. And Columbia yesterday, what an embarrassment. Not only did they have their sit-in or tent-in at Columbia University, where she's trying to explain to everyone there is no problem, but they had a huge pro-Palestinian Hamas rally yesterday. Did you even see this video? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. But Brian, before we run out of time, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter is going to prison for stealing his money to gamble with. There, you know how cynical the talk radio audience is, right? There's a rather large contingent of this audience that thinks somehow this interpreter is the fall guy and that he's covering for Shohei Ohtani. Now, never mind that the prosecutors have said that there's no evidence of that, that Ohtani's the victim. And of course, if they could nail a high profile scalp like Ohtani, I'm sure they would. Never mind that I don't think Ohtani would throw away his Major League Baseball career. How do you view the situation with respect to Ohtani and the interpreter specifically, but also this trend towards gambling in professional sports? We just saw the basketball player suspended for life. And a lot of folks are saying it's a little hypocritical for these leagues to be clamping down on athletes messing around with gambling, although in the NBA player, it's a lot more than messing around, and taking all this money from gambling companies like DraftKings and FanDuel. Give me your take on the whole sports gambling vibe as it is, and the Ohtani situation specifically.
You have to have purity of the result, or nobody's even going to gamble. So even if you want to be cynical and say the NBA doesn't care about the purity of the game, just look at this from pure business standpoint. If we think the outcome is fixed, like pro wrestling, I'm not going to put money in because then it's going to be the people that make the choice. You know that LeBron James going deep into the playoffs is going to be in the league's best interest. So I'm going to bet for the Lakers. That you can't have that. You got to be able to look at a contest and thinking it's on the level. And if not, you got to do what they did yesterday, and you got to ban this guy for life. The guy was missing free throws in order to go under 9 points or whatever. So he's banned for life. But this is playing with fire. I mean, I remember, I'm older than you, Frank. I remember when Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle was suspended for being greeters at a casino. Suspended from their ceremonial activities in their retirement. And they said, screw it, I have no other way to make money except signing baseball cards. I'm doing it anyway. I believe that was the outcome. I think it's terrible for sports. Everyone thinks I'm crazy and I'm at another age. Absolutely terrible for sports. There's two things going on right now. When you look at fantasy and you look at gambling, we no longer have people that love their teams and love their city. We have people that love their fantasy team and want to make money or just compete. And my goodness, you hear these coaches complaining. They're up by 9 and the spread is 8. And they get booed because they're taking their starters out in game 61 in Toronto. And they're getting booed. They go, you know, Bernie Bickerstaff was saying the other day, he's like, well, why am I even doing this? He's like, yeah, does anyone care who wins anymore? Or is it just about your wallet? So I think it's a bad trend in sports, but the horse has left the barn. Do you think by any chance it was just this one fringe player from Toronto right now?
No.
That has been infiltrated?
No.
There's just no way. Logic wouldn't allow that. And now you got a hockey team and you have an NFL team right in Las Vegas. So, and now you're going to have the Oakland A's soon in Las Vegas. So there was a time in which we didn't even have an all-star game in Las Vegas. So things are changing. People are making more money. Sports is the hottest thing. The only thing you can count on in broadcast where fans have to tune in at the exact time the game starts. And everyone's going to make money, so nobody's going to be walking this back. But believe me, Frank, we're going to be talking here on Thursdays about different scandals, and I'm sure there's going to be one in baseball. Ohtani, it looks like he is that naive and that much of a dummy to allow millions of dollars to flow out of his account without even knowing it. So maybe it's a culture thing. But I was talking to John Smoltz yesterday on the show, and he says right now,
interview, yeah.
And he says right now they see no indication that Ohtani's involved at all.
Interesting. Well, I mean, there is no evidence that anybody's been able to show that he's involved at all. Brian, we'll have to end it there. It's always a treat to talk with you. Thank you, my friend.
Go get him, Frank.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.